You can see that we are saved to save others. You know, we are saved to save others. And that's the title of my message, Save to Save Others. The video gave us a clear vision of how people are perishing. In that video, Christ said, I've saved you, and that they are in that place where you came from, and I want you to go after them. And this is what mission and evangelism is all about, going for the lost. And this is Jesus' last command. And that command should be our number one priority. So his last command should be our number one priority. Let's just look at, this is a familiar passage of the Bible that tells us what that command is all about. So let's look at Matthew 28:17-20, Amplified. I said, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted that it was really he. That is surprising. He said, when they saw him, they worshipped him. And some were doubting. Some were doubting whether it was Christ. And remember, these people, some of them, you know, witnessed, were eyewitness. They were there. When Christ was performing all the miracles, they were there when Christ even told them that he would be killed and that he would resurrect. And then when he resurrected, some of them doubted. But you know, one good thing about Christ is that he didn't even query them, because he knew right from onset that this is what was going to happen. But he said he came to them, verse 18. He says, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All. There was no reservation. So he has the key. He has the power. He has the authority on this earth and in heaven. What the devil took from us, Christ went and got it back for us. Praise the Lord. Says all authority, all power has been given to him, both in heaven and earth. So he is in absolute control of the earth and heaven. Verse 19 follows verse 18, because he gave us an assurance that he has the power now, he has the authority. And then he said, go therefore. I have the power. I'm delegating you. I'm giving you the authority. I'm giving you the power to go and do the assignment I'm going to give you. So in other words, we shouldn't be afraid, because the power and authority has been given to us by the person who has all the authority. Praise the Lord. So go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me. Help them to learn of me. Believe in me and obey my words. Important aspect of our evangelism, in our preaching, that people should know him, learn about him, and people should believe in him, and people should obey his words. Those three things are very important as we begin to evangelize, as we begin to preach to people, as we begin to teach people. so that they understand fully whom Jesus Christ is. Because if they don't know him, how can they trust him? If they don't know him, how can they obey his words? So the important thing is for them to know him first. Establish that relationship. That knowing is very important. Praise the Lord. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. 20. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Again, that's another assurance that he's always with us, always remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion. So no matter what you are going through, even when you begin to witness for him and then you begin to experience difficulties, problems, he said, no matter what you are going through, he knows about it and he's with you. Praise the Lord. Even to the end of the age. So even to the end of the age. I don't know, do you notice that you cannot spell the word gospel without the word go? For you to spell the word gospel, you first of all spell what? G-O, that's go. So we're supposed to go and preach the word. The Great Commission is the last word or instruction Jesus gave to his disciples before he left for heaven. You can see that in Mark 16:19-20. That explains it, you know, better. So when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. 20. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord walked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Even at that moment, immediately the Lord departed, they started witnessing for him, and miracles started happening. Christ was with them. He will always fulfill his promise. Praise the Lord. Last words are very important because it is the last thing a person leaves behind on this earth. They are the words by which they will often be remembered. And this is why he took time to prepare us for this great task. I says, in this video that we watch, he said, what I am sending you to do is not easy and can never be done by our own strength. So on a day like today, we come together to remind ourselves again our commitment to the last word of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a privilege to serve our God. Praise the Lord. I can imagine if the President of America, you know, calls you to come to the White House and give you a job. I mean, you'll be jumping up and down. Not to talk of God, God himself that created the entire universe, calling us to come and serve him. And then he is a rewarder. The Bible tells us he's a rewarder to those that seek him diligently. So it is a thing of joy for us to go and preach and make disciples. This is his heart desire. This is what God wants us to do. To bring people out of that jail, to rescue them. He has saved us to save them. Otherwise, they would be there and perish. So the question is, does the Great Commission apply to believers of today or only to the disciples in the first century? I don't want you guys to answer that. But you know, most often we all, all, always say that some of these things are just for people of the old, you know, century, the old Christians, that they don't apply for us. When we talk of tithe, our mentality goes that way. When we talk of baptism of the Holy Spirit, our mentality goes that way. But our God does not change. He's a God of today and a God of tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Let's look at these two Bible passages. Maybe that will help us to understand that the Great Commission applies to us too. John 10, 14, 16, Amplified, says, I am the good shepherd, and I know without any doubt that those who are my own and my own know me and have a deep personal relationship with me. Verse 15, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my very own life, sacrificing it for the benefit of the sheep. For the benefit of the sheep. Now look at this verse now, verse 16. For the benefit of the sheep. Look at verse 16. He says, I have what? Other sheep. Beside these, that are not of this fold. He says, I must bring those also, and they will listen to my voice and pay attention to my call. So he's talking about us. Right? Praise the Lord. So we are the other sheep. I say, I must bring them. And then the next sentence says, he will bring them and make them one. The former sheep and the next sheep is going to bring. He will make them one. And they will have common goal. And that goal is to save the other sheep that has not been saved. Praise the Lord. John 17, 20, 21. Now this is Jesus Christ's last prayer to his Father before he went to the cross. And then in verse 20 says, he was saying that I do not pray for these alone, talking about his disciples. So he's not praying, he wasn't praying for them alone. It is not for their sake only that I made this request, but also for all those who will ever believe and trust me through their message. So Christ also prayed for us. He prayed for the disciples. He prayed for us. Those that will believe their message, his message through them. He covered them in his prayer. He said, Father, I in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe without any doubt that you sent me. So every plan Christ made, he made it for all of us. Remember what John 3:16 says, for God so what? Loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. So the love of God and the love of Christ is for everybody. Even for that armed robber outside, God still loves him. And he wants us to go and reach him and bring him and add him to that sheep, to the fold. It is our responsibility, gentlemen and ladies, to do this. So why is the Great Commission so important to Jesus? Because he put more emphasis on it. Why is it so much important to him? Remember, why is that? That is why he came. That was his mission, to save the lost. Remember how John the Baptist introduced him to the whole world. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, this is the Lamb of God that came to take the sins of the whole world away. The Lamb of God that came to take the sin of the whole world. In Luke 4:18-19, Christ says, Christ was quoting Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Messiah, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to anoint, to announce release, pardon, forgiveness to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed." 19, "to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the favor of God abound greatly." Praise the Lord. And in Matthew 4:19-20, it says, Jesus said to them, "Come." Now, that was, remember when he came after the temptation. Now, he came out from came out of the wilderness and went straight to Capernaum in Galilee, to look for disciples that will help him, or he will teach about what we are doing right now. So Jesus said to them, "Come." I was talking to Peter and his brother Andrew. "Come, follow me, and I will make you different." That's ERV version. I don't know if you have it. Is it a real version? Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you a different kind of fishermen." These are the fishermen. This is their occupation. They were known to be fishermen. He said, "I'm going to make you a different fisherman. You will bring in people, not fish." Now, this is at the beginning of his ministry. He said, "I'm going to make you so that you start bringing in people and no more fish." And see what happened. Verse 20. Simon and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. There's no question about what am I going to gain from it? How much are you going to pay me? He said, they left their occupation. They left everything they had, everything they were doing. And they say, he says, immediately, and they followed him. They followed him. So Jesus started his ministry by seeking to save the lost, to tell mankind that there is hope. Because Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. So mankind, like we saw, we were all doomed for destruction. But in 10:10, John 10:10 message says, "I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." Other translation will say, I've come that you may have life. I have life more abundantly. But it says, we have a life. This is why he came. A life that is better than what we had before. An eternal life. That's what he came to offer us. He ended his ministry on earth by making sure that we continue with his mission to save all. 2 Peter 3:9 Amplified says, "The Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act, and is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." So this is his goal or his objective or what he wants from us. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. Praise the Lord. In the video we watched, you know, he said, I want you to work for me, to represent me. He said, I need you to go back to the prison cell that I took you out, because there are a whole bunch more that need to know about me, that need to know about my love, that need to know about my truth. He said, we should go back there and bring them out from there. Like I said before, we have been commissioned to represent him. What a privilege to serve our Lord. Now, what is our responsibility? We are asked to go and preach and teach the gospel. And as we do this, the Holy Spirit has the responsibility to make our witness effective. This is very important, because sometimes we preach and then we are expecting immediate effect or result, and we're being discouraged. Like the drama we saw, this guy gave his life. He gave his life and then went back to, continued with his old habit. But the guy that led him to Christ kept preaching to him, remembering him, calling him, making sure that, you know, he gets that relationship with Christ. And this is what we're supposed to do. That's discipleship. You now lead someone to Christ, you follow him up or her up. Don't expect immediate result that, you know, he will change immediately. No, it's not easy. I know mine wasn't easy. When I gave my life, I kept smoking, I kept drinking. It wasn't easy. It took a while before the Spirit of God began to minister to me that I'm now a new creature. Praise the Lord. But it's important for us to know that not everyone has the opportunity to go. Much as you have been asked to go, not everyone has the opportunity to go. But remember, we are told in Acts 1:8 to start from Jerusalem. Start from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then to the end of the earth. So wherever you are, it's your own Jerusalem. That's where you start. Preach to your neighbors, your co-workers, friends, people around you. John also told us what to do if we cannot go. If you cannot go, there's something we have to do. That's our own responsibility if you cannot go. Let's look at 3 John 1, 5 to 8, Amplified. It says, Beloved, you are acting faithfully in what you are providing for the brothers, and especially when they are strangers. And they have testified before the church of your love and friendship. You will do well to assist them and send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. 7. For these traveling missionaries went out for the sake of the name of Christ, accepting nothing in the way of assistance from the Gentiles. They did not accept anything from the Gentiles, from unbelievers. The unbelievers they are going to preach to, win. So they can't accept anything from them. 8, it says, so we believers ought to support such people. So it's our responsibility to support them, welcoming them as guests and providing for them, so that we may be fellow workers for the truth, that is, for the gospel message of salvation. You know, when we help them, we are also partaking in the work they are doing. We can help them by providing them money. We can help them by praying. We can help them by giving them. Sometimes We do annals in the church here to give out clothes or snacks, you know, for missions. And on Sunday, we will have another opportunity to participate in this great and glorious responsibility the Lord has given us as we make our pledges to support our brothers and sisters in mission. We should make sure we'll be part of this. Remember what John said, they all depend on us for support and not the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Pastor Victor.